Well, this morning I had a topic, and it's a term that I heard a while back, and I'll have it up here on the screen in just a second, but the title of my sermon is called Think Time. Think Time. I have a pastor friend of mine that he's out in Ohio, and I was talking to him. Before I came to this church here, I actually called him and talked to him about this church. So, but it's so funny to listen to engage him in conversation, because you'll ask him a question and I'll say, Josh, what do you think about this? And here's his response. Well, let me tell you, he took time to process that question. He took time to think about that question before he answered that question. Because a lot of times, and not just pastors, but people in general, they have the answers. Guys are the fixers. We have the answers for everything. So if my wife has a problem, she doesn't want to know the answer or try to fix it a lot of times. She just wants you to listen. How many guys are good at listening? I didn't see one guy's hand go up on that one there. But anyway, but you know, there's a lot of people out there that they have the answers, right? This. They have the answers all the time. Let's get that answer out there real quick. I've got it. I can fix your problem. That's no big deal for me because I have the answer. But instead, we need to be people who will just stop for a second, will think about it, and then we give our answer. The amount of time that we think about something will determine the quantity and quality of the fruit produced. Whoo! Man, if you're that guy that just blurts out the answer, you didn't think about it, and the answer you gave, you didn't see how it would affect this over here or that over there, you just blurted out an answer. But the amount of time that we stop and we think about what we're going to say before we say it will determine the effectiveness of what it is that we're answering. We're going to look at some verses here right now, here in just a second, and It's gonna cause us, and I'm gonna give you some verses here in just a little while, that's gonna cause you to think. Who came to church to think this morning? I hope we did. But it's gonna give you a chance to think, but not just think, but take that home, and how much more think time are you gonna give it when you leave this place? If you just get what you get and you think about it for a minute while you're here, and you never think about it again when you leave this place, how much staying power does it have? How much lasting power does it have? It's very shallow. And we'll look at some verses here in just a few minutes about that. But I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to look at this verse here. It's a very familiar verse. But we're going to look at it in such a way that maybe you've never thought about it before. Now, when I think about my grandkids, I give my grandkids think time. I give my grandkids more think time than I do my kids. But I think about them, and you know, we're going to be going up to see them on Friday, and I'm already thinking about it. I'm already thinking, okay, what's Penelope going to say this time? Because she says some things like, wow, she is the funniest thing I've ever seen. But anyway, but I'm already thinking about that. So I'm already engaged in what we're going to do when we go up there. But in Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Father, I just thank you for your word. Thank you that it's true. I thank you that as we study it here this morning, Father, you're going to reveal things to us as we move forward. Father, I thank you that you're revealing things to me even now beyond the preparation, because I believe that your Holy Spirit speaks to each and every one of us as we're here and he's in our midst. So we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor for everything that you're going to do in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've mentioned many times that the word shall, I mean, you'll see it in a lot of the King James, or even the New King James here, saying the word shall. And it's used to say something that is with certainty or that must happen. So I'm going to read this verse again. And I'm going to change the word shall to the word must. And see if it impacts you just a little bit differently. It says, this book of the law must not depart from my mouth. But you must meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now I'm going to read it another way. We're going to personalize it even more. Now here we went from shall, which in most people's vocabulary, it's just kind of, okay, shall. But now we've gone to must. Ooh, we got to think just a minute now. Now it's saying must. Okay, let's change something here a little bit differently. I'm making you think today. So it says, this book of the law must not depart from my mouth. Uh-oh, now it's getting personal. This book of the law must not depart from my mouth. But I must meditate in it day and night. Ooh, gosh. Well, he's really getting personal now. Now he's saying that I got to look. Ooh, I have to meditate? I thought somebody else was meditating. I thought it was just a Bible verse. No. It says here that must meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success. This implies that we have an obligation in this verse. This just isn't a verse that we read during church and, you know, talking about, oh, if I meditate in the word, you know, then day and night, then I'll make my way prosperous. I'll be successful. You have an obligation when you read the word. When the word of God is referring specifically to you, you have an obligation. We're not just coming to church on Sunday morning and reading the Bible and getting a lesson and going home and eating our happy meal and having a snooze on Sunday afternoon. How many take snoozes on Sunday afternoon? I see a lot of head shaking on that. I got more aliens out of that than I did earlier. But that's fun. But we have an obligation. When we read it in that fashion, which we really break it down, the shalls being the musts, and then add the I into that, I have an obligation when I read this now. So let me just look at it real quick one more time. This book of the law must not depart from my mouth, but I shall meditate on it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success. So if we don't like what's going on in our lives, let's look at it this way. If we don't like what's going on in our lives, we need to check out what we're saying, we need to check out what we're thinking about, and we need to check out what we're doing. There's a lot of things going on in our lives that we feel like we're being attacked, we're being defeated, all these different types of things. Well, what are you saying? What are you thinking about? And what are you doing about it? We just read a verse that says, this book of the law must not, what? Must not depart from my mouth. So if you've got a situation that you're going through, you never enter a battle with the enemy with your mouth shut. You enter any battle with the enemy with your mouth open, speaking the word of God. And if we're speaking the word of God, he has to, it says to resist him. Well, how do you resist him? You resist him with the word of God. And it says, when you resist him, what's he going to do? Some versions say, he runs as in terror. He is scared. When you speak the word of God, it's like, oh, the big lion coming against the little rabbit, you know. That's the way he is. He has to run in terror. He can't stand in the presence of God. He can't stand under the word of God. Because if we look, and we'll look at it again here in a few minutes, because it says in Luke 10:19, I've been referring to this a lot. It says that you have been given authority. You as believers have authority over serpents and scorpions, which means devils and demons. And then what? Over all the power of the enemy. So that when he comes against you and he's attacking you in this way here, you have authority, you have a power over him. And what is that authority and that power? It's the word of God coming out of your mouth and letting that fight the battle for you. You don't have to do anything in the natural, in your own natural abilities, because if you're going to do it in your natural abilities, you're going to fail anyway. But if you do it with the word of God coming out of your mouth, being led by the Spirit of God, when you speak that out, he has to flee. He has to run as in terror. You have all authority over him because of the word of God coming out of your mouth. And then it says, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. There's nothing that can stand against you. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So there will be weapons formed against you. there will be things coming against you. The Bible says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. There will be trials coming at you in your life. But guess what? You have the Word of God to speak over those situations and those trials and temptations, whatever they may be. You speak that out, and there is no way that that trial, that temptation, whatever it may be, can stand in the face of the Word of God. Speak to your mountains. What's your mountain today? What is it that's an obstacle in front of you today that just seems you just can't get past it? The Bible says, speak to your mountain. Be uprooted, cast into the sea. It says, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you've received them and you will have them. Or it says, you shall have them. It says, then, well, in King James, if it means shall, then you must have them. It's a promise. So if we don't like what we see going on in our lives, check out what we're saying, check out what we're thinking, check out what we're doing. Give the Word of God some think time. Matter of fact, the things that are going on in your life that you don't like, think about why they're happening. Most of the time, the mess that we going on in our lives, that we have going on in our lives, we give the devil way too much credit. Chances are, it's something goofy that we've done. Nobody wants to hear that. But chances are, it's something goofy that we've done. You know, we may have overspent. Oh, the devil's back in my finances. No, you didn't need that new TV. Let me get my toes back here just a little bit because I just stepped on somebody's. I don't know who they were. I just bought a 65-inch TV. Maybe it was my toes. But anyway, but we give the devil way too much credit. A lot of times it is us. But there are other times that it is Satan that comes against us. Well, what's the Bible say about Satan coming against you? Well, it just so happens I wrote a verse down here. Give you something else to think about. Some think time. It says, in Ephesians 4:27, it says, nor give place to the devil. Don't give him any room to operate. You know, and it goes on down to talk about in that same chapter there. It says, if you steal, stop it. Why are these people always after me? Why is the law knocking on my door? Because you're stealing. Stop it. So it's talking about that. And, you know, then it talks about let no corrupt word come out of your mouth. Ooh, ouch. What is a corrupt word? Anytime you talk against something in a negative way, it doesn't matter what it is. Whether it's a person, some people think a corrupt word is a cuss word. That's not a corrupt word. A corrupt word is any time that you speak negatively against someone else in order to tear them down, you're speaking corrupt words. Those aren't words that would come from the Word of God. Those aren't words that the Spirit of God would have you to speak. So anything that the Spirit of God would not have you speak is a corrupt word. Don't talk like that. Why are those types of things going on in your life? Why, when you're speaking corrupt words, why does it seem like things are not going right in your life? You're reaping what you sowed. This is fun, isn't it? Man, this is fun. Amen. And in the Amplified Version, it says, leave no such room for the foothold or a foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. He'll take every foothold he can get in your life. It doesn't matter what it is. You leave the door cracked just a little bit, and he's going to try to come in that doorway. And then once you let him in the doorway, I mean, what are you going to do then? You know, there's only one way to get him out. Speak the word, get him out, and then don't let him in again. So he's looking for a foothold. If we react wrongly when faced with life's issues, we need to know how to fix it. Well, how are you going to fix it? With the Word of God. Let me give you something to think about here. Hebrews 13:5. It says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. So, when you leave this place here today, we all felt the presence of God here today. I did. I don't know about anybody else. But we've sensed the Spirit of God here today. Well, guess what? That same Spirit of God that was here with you today is going to walk out that door with you here at about 11:30, unless you stay until noon and eat donuts, that's okay too. But he's going to walk out that door with you at 11:30 or whatever it may be today. And he says he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. So during the course of your work week, give that some think time. Think time. Give it some think time. Give it some think time. If he says he'll never leave you, if he says that he'll never forsake you, what's that mean? He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. He's always with you. When you're going through life circumstances, he's with you. When you're on the mountaintop, he's with you. When you feel like you're down in the valley, he's with you. When it feels like the devil is coming against you on all sides, he's with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Give it some think time. I think a lot of times we don't think about that because when we're what some people call them, the mully grubs, I guess that's a word. You're down in the mully grubs. You're down there and you're just, woe is me. And what you'd rather have, not you guys, I'm just saying in general. I'll say what Rick would rather have is somebody just to pet him a little bit. Oh, you're so, you were right in that situation. You had a right to act that way. Maybe not a right, but that's how I feel. But when you're down in that situation, if you're realizing that, okay, I'm going through this mess right here, but he says he's with me all the time, then he can pick me up and carry me up out of that mess. I've been in messes before, and I won't go into the detail about it, but it was a deal where I'm sitting at the lunch table one day, and I'm saying, Lord, just come back now. This is too much. I want you to come back now. I wasn't going to kill myself. Let's get that straight. But I want you to return now. Where's the trumpet at? Carrie plays the trumpet. Where's the trumpet at? At least get Carrie on the trumpet. I want you to come back now. Well, he says, guess what? I'm with you. I'm not going to forsake you. I went through 7 years of that whole mess. And then one day, it's like the person that I was having the biggest issue with that hadn't spoken to me for 7 years. I'm walking down the sidewalk, and he's coming this way here. He goes, how you doing, Rick? That's the first words he said to me in 7 years. But you know, I remained faithful to go to work every day, to do the things I was supposed to do every day, to try and present Jesus the way I was supposed to every day. And by doing that, the Lord brought me through. And from that point on, people came to me wanting to know, hey, Rick, what would you do in this situation? So I became a go-to type person. Well, I thought about, let's see, he said he would never leave me, forsake me. He said that he would bring me through. There's no thing that is so much that I there's not a way of escape. I started thinking on the word. And the word is going to bring you through. Me to Mark chapter 4. The degree of importance or think time that we place on the word determines the quantity and the quality of the fruit produced. Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading out of the NIV. I'm going to be reading a few verses here, about 6 verses. And you all have heard the parable of the sower before. Now this is later on when Jesus is explaining the parable of the sower to his disciples. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse number 3. Double check. Yes. And it says here, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky place where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered. They withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, and even 100-fold. And now in verse 13, it says, Jesus said to them, don't you understand the parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Uh-oh, there's the word. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Oh, you mean Satan can take the word out of your heart that you've just heard? Ooh, how can he do that? How can Satan come and steal the word that you just heard? You didn't give it any think time. You didn't meditate on it. What did it say back here in Joshua 1:8? It says here, the book of the law must not depart from your mouth, but you shall or must meditate on it day and night. So on Sunday morning and we get the word, we've got to leave here taking that same word, go home and think about it. We need to go home and meditate on it. If we want to see supernatural things happening in our lives, if we want to see manifestations of healing in our lives, if we want to see all these different things going on in our lives that the Word says, and actually that the Word promises us, then we got to give them think time. We have to give them think time. So, going on here to the next verse. Along the path, and we're so... Okay, so as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only for a short time. When trouble and persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Ooh. So you get the word, you're all happy about it. How many has ever been to a conference and I get what I call the 3-day later syndrome? You're on a high. Oh man, this is great. I got the word. I've been to Promise Keeper, 62,000 guys in a stadium praising God. Man, I'm on a high. I'm going, oh, the next day, oh yeah, that was great. Get back to church on that Sunday morning. Give my testimony. Oh yeah, here's what the Lord did this last weekend. Monday morning comes. It's 5:00 in the morning and I have to get up. I'm not feeling as, I'm more, 3 days later, that same word you had that was given, that you had gotten, if you didn't give it any think time in that time frame, it's gone. You got to think about it. Okay, well, let's look at another person. But still others, like the seed sown among thorns, hear the word. Okay, you're hearing the word. But the worries of this life, uh-oh. Whoo. How many have ever had anything come against them in life that makes, maybe you shouldn't say this in church, but you worry about it? Okay, I'm the only one. Me and Dorothy, we're the only ones here. Okay. All right, so there's things that we worry about. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Ooh, something better came along. I heard the word. I'm excited about the word. Sunday morning, I'm going to be in church. Oh, wait a second. Take us to the football game. We're going to go see the Bears. Well, or any whatever team. But we're going to go see. Oh, that's, yeah, man, that's. I think I'll go there. Well, those types of things choke the word out too. The word lasts because you didn't give the word think time. You place we I keep saying we, but we didn't place any importance on the word that was sown. The farmer sows the word. So if he's sowing the word, where's he sowing it? To us. And if we give that word some think time, then it gets down in our spirit. It becomes a part of who we are. And if it becomes a part of who we are, when we are faced with the trials of life, when we are faced with whatever it may, anything physical, anything financial, whatever it may be, what's going to come out of our mouths? That word that was sown in our hearts. I see lack in my bank account, but my God will do what? He'll supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. But I'm not feeling well today. I'm going through some physical situations, which we do. But it says, by his stripes, we are healed. And when it says are, or the word were, those are past tense words, so it's already done. We may not have the physical manifestation of it yet, but guess what? It's on the way. It's ours. I've used this example before. We have a pastor friend of ours that his daughter has had some severe mental, physical challenges. She's had them since she was born. She's 40-some years old now. They haven't given up. They still believe God's going to heal her. You don't give up. Just because it didn't happen today, you don't give up. because they have the word on the inside of them. They've given that word some think time, and because they've given it some think time, they can't be shaken. When you give the word think time and it becomes a part of who you are, you cannot be shaken. I say it over and over. 1 John 5, 14 and 15 are verses that I go to, and you can't shake me for them, because this is the confidence that I have in Him, that if I ask anything according to His will, I know that He hears me. And if I know that He hears me, I know that I have the petitions that I ask. How can I quote that and not miss a word? Because I've given it some think time. I've got it on the inside of me. So whatever you're going through in life, if you're asking, whatever it may be, you can have a confidence that it's yours. Why? Give it some think time, and you'll get a knowing. Okay, well, let's look at another person here. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries in life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil. Oh, boy, here's the good soil. Hear the word and accept it. They hear the word and they say, it's mine. If I was to pull out $100, I'll give it to you later, Lina, that $100. Oh, yeah. But if I was to pull a $100 bill out of my pocket and put it out like this, how does it become yours? When you take it. I can sit here all day long and hold it like this, and you can stand there and not take it. It's never yours. You take it, you accept it, then it's yours. So hear what they're saying here. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. So when you take the word, you give it some think time, you accept the word, and it becomes something that is part of you. It's something you can say, this is mine. You can't take it from me. I've thought about it. Satan, you can't come, like in the first guy here, you can't come and just snatch that word away from me. It's not possible. Matter of fact, I'm going to speak against you, and I'm going to speak the word toward you. You got to go. I bind you in the name of Jesus. You have to leave. That's what you do to him, to where he can't take that word from you. It's yours. It's settled. There was a guy, one of our instructors out at Rhema, Doug Jones. Some of you may have heard of him. He's been there forever. But he's the one that I first heard this term think time from. And one of the things that he was saying is that when you go to Rhema, and it could be anywhere, it could be in this church service, but he was specifically talking about Rhema, that if you don't take what you've learned at Rhema, at the college, and give it some think time, and then you go back to your home state or wherever it is that you go, if you've never given it any think time, then you'll go back to where you were and revert back to what you were because you didn't give it any kind of think time. There's things that I, in my 3 years of school out there, 19 hours a week of schooling, plus the church services and all that, you're being bombarded with word all the time. And so you think about it. I thought about it. I mean, as I preach here anymore, I've noticed, and I believe that there's an anointing for this, but just scripture keeps coming to me like this. I don't even have to think about the scripture anymore, because it's something that I've accepted as being mine, and I want to take what's mine, this word, and I want to get it out there. But he's saying that if you don't give the word think time at school, then when you leave school, you're going to go right back to the way you were before you came there. Which is true, because you've not thought about what it was that they were trying to teach you while you were there. So we got to give the word think time. But in this here, if we go back to Joshua 1:8, it first talks about speak. The word of God must not depart from your mouth. Never replace the word coming from your mouth with something else. Never replace the word of God with something a counselor has told you, something your parents have told you. I had my youngest daughter, well, our youngest daughter is a daughter we adopted, but our middle daughter, she was the youngest at the time. She went up to my mom, and I don't know if anybody's ever heard the group DC Talk. Anyways, Toby Mac and all those guys. But they had a song called Jesus Freak. You have to listen to it sometimes. It's a good song. And so she came up to me one time. She goes, is it okay to be a Jesus freak? Because somebody else had told her that she shouldn't be that. That's not normal for her to be that way. Well, Jesus freak means, man, I'm sold out. I'm all in with the things of God. So never replace, when it's talking about speaking, things coming out of your mouth. Don't speak things other than what the Word of God is saying to speak. So in meditate, never think on anything except what the Word says to think on. Huh. And then do. Never do anything contrary to the Word. Day and night, whenever you're faced with anything, it talks about meditate on it day and night. Okay, well, Word. Okay, Jesus said, and you're thinking about this the whole time. No, that's not what it's talking about. Man, when you're walking through life and it comes to you, and maybe it's something you've been studying for a while, and it just comes to your mind as you're doing, go about your daily business. We can multitask. Even a guy can multitask. Come on, guys. We can multitask. As you're going about your daily business, think about, man, he says he'll never leave me or forsake me. Whew. Man, I'm glad he's not going to leave me or forsake me, because I'm working on this project right here, and I don't know what to do. Anybody ever worked on something and they just couldn't figure it out? I have. I mean, I'm down there in Casey. My daughter used to live in Casey, and the back latch on my Sequoia wasn't. I shut it and it was locked. It wouldn't last. And I'm thinking, man, I'm going to tie this door down all the way back 2.5-3 hours back north. I said, well, that's not going to work. I stopped and said, okay, Lord, I need to know how to fix this. And it was so weird, because he says, okay, hit the auto lock button. Take a screwdriver down here, pull up at the same time, and it'll release. So I did that, pulled up. Sure enough, it released. You know? And then I had to fix the thing. Well, I've never fixed the thing before. Now, some guys may not go along with this, but I went to YouTube to fix this thing. Paid $26 to fix this thing, as opposed to taking it to the shop. And what do you think the shop would have charged me? Yeah. But I stopped. And in the natural, I gave it some think time, but then I had to turn. I turned to the Lord and said, "Okay, I need your help." And I just waited, and He provided. I mean, it was just so simple like that. You just won't find yourself. This is funny. You just won't find yourself in Walmart in your pajama pants. Wondering how in the world did I get there? You're not just going to show up there in your pajama pants. Wondering how you got there. No, you had to think about what you were going to do to get there. Okay, well, I got to put on my dinosaur and puppy pajama pants, okay? And then get in my car, drive to Walmart. Okay, you had to think about it. It just doesn't automatically happen. So the things of God, when you receive the Word, you think about it, you get it on the inside of you, you realize that it's yours, you act upon what it's saying, and guess what happens? It has to come to pass. It must come to pass. If He's promised you something, it must happen. If you look at the Word that way, give it some think time and realize, when you promise somebody something, they're expecting it. Don't let them down. But they're expecting it. So if Jesus promised us something, if the Word of God promises us something, what can we do? We can expect it to happen. If you're going through something physical, you can expect Him to heal you. He's no respecter of persons. Just because that woman with the issue of blood came up there, and we don't have to touch the hem of His garment. We don't have to do something like that. It's not to say that couldn't happen like that today, if that's the way it was supposed to happen, but she got healed. Jairus' daughter got healed. The guy at the temple, when Peter and John, he got healed. He's sitting there thinking he just wants money. He didn't really know what he really wanted. He wanted them to reach down, hand of God, pick him up off that floor there, and he walked. So whatever it is that we're needing, it's a promise that is ours. Well, how do we know that it's ours? Because we gave it some think time. We stopped and we thought about it. We meditated on the Word. We thought about, okay, God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. Has He spoken, and has He not said it? Has He spoken, He will not make it good. Ooh, Numbers 23:19. So if he said it, that's it. If his word says it, that's it. It may not look like it's happening right now, but he said it, so that's it. But I haven't seen it happen yet. He said it, that's it. But when's it going to come? Don't know. He said it, that's it. That's the attitude that we have to have. We have to be like that dog on a bone. Take a bone out of a mean dog's mouth. Try it. See what happens. Our dog, you couldn't have even come into the yard with our dog there. It wasn't going to happen. But we love our dog. But you have to think about it before it's actually going to happen. You have to give it some think time. So before you do anything, the first thing you do is you have to give it some think time. If we don't like what's going on in our lives, what kind of think time are you giving it? What kind of think time are you giving to the answer of what's going on for what's going on in your lives? Whatever it may be, what kind of word do you have that you can apply to that, that you're giving it some think time? If you're not giving it any think time, if you're not meditating on the word, if you're not taking and say, that's mine, nothing's going to happen. Whatever you're going through in life, you have to have word to stand on. If you've got a crisis in your life, what word are you standing on in order to see you through that? We've got to have word. Give it some time, meditate on it, give it some think time, and say, okay, I got it now. That's mine. When we first moved to Oklahoma, we're selling our house in February of 2020. So the pandemic's about ready to hit full swing. So they aren't showing houses in February of 2020. March of 2020. We got to be in school in August of 2020. And so I had somebody tell me, he said, well, first of all, the pandemic's here, but where your house is located, do you really think it's going to sell? And my first thought was, well, I don't know. But I remember I was sitting at a stoplight in Gibson City on route or stop sign in Gibson City on Route 47. And, it's like, wait a second. No. He said that he wants us out at Rhema. He wants us going to Bible college. My house will sell. And I got a knowing, just like Abraham did, I got a knowing at that point there that, nope, my house is going to sell. It doesn't matter what anybody says. My house will sell, and it'll sell at the appointed time. And so we go through the pandemic, not showing any houses. It comes June, just starting to lighten up just a little bit. And I've told this before, we went to Branson for my mom's 80th birthday. She wanted to go ziplining, so we went ziplining for her 80th. She's on that thing flying down there at about 50 miles an hour. But anyway, so we're there. Then we go out to Oklahoma, and we thought, okay, Lord, it's June. We got to be here in August, and they're not showing houses. And so we get out there at apartment complex. Long story short, we sign our name on the lease saying we're coming to rent. We're moving in here. House hasn't sold back here yet. We've already signed a lease out here. The lease out here is like $1,200 a month, plus whatever our house payment is back here, a couple of grand a month. We're not wanting to pay $2,000 a month to live, you know, different places. And so as soon as we signed on the dotted line, knowing our house would sell, 3 phone calls on the way home from that signing that day, people wanting to look at our houses. The third guy bought the house. So within 8 days after us signing that piece of paper, he bought the house. Full price from an iPad in Phoenix, Arizona. Never stepped foot on the property until the day of signing. That's God, as far as I'm concerned. But I had a knowing. I had a promise. I took it. I gave it some think time, and I said, no, my house will sell. It's done. It's done. What are you going through right now that you need to give some think time to the Word with regards to your situation? Give it some think time, whatever your situation is. Have a knowing that this is going to come to pass. It's been promised to me. I may not see the manifestation of it yet, but he said it would happen. By his stripes, it's done. I'm healed. I may not see it yet, but it's coming to pass. I'll see the manifestation. I'm suffering financially. I may not see the money in my bank account, but he promised that he will supply all. Of course, I always say, Lord, we're looking a little low here on this end. You need to maybe kill another cow or give me some of that silver and gold that are yours, you know. I need that stuff. You can be matter of fact with God. You don't have to pray, "Oh Father, thou art my Father, give us thou hast take us away." You don't have to pray like that. "Hey God, you know, I'm suffering here right now. I'm standing on your word. You know what's going on in my life. You promised me." You're not being disrespectful. You're just reminding him of his word. He tells you, "Plead your case." I'm going to plead my case, and I'm not going to apologize for it. There's a lot of times that I won't speak on something or do something until I've thought about it, until I've studied it. Sometimes, guys, it is better to read the instructions. Not one guy smiled. How many have taken and put something together, and after you have extra parts, then you pick the instructions? I've never done that because I have my wife sitting there reading the instructions to me. And we go step by step by step. She, No, you want to go here first. Okay. But sometimes it's okay. It's, you know, we need to stop and we need to think about it. We need to study the instructions. Well, guess what? Let's study the instructions. Let's meditate on the instructions. Because whatever we're going through in life is in the manual. The answer for it is, name me something that you're going through in life, and I'll show you where it's at here in the Word. You know, your brothers in the world have gone through the same things, is what the Bible says. In my E-sword, it says, if we observe to do according to what the Word says, then God will cause all our ways to be prosperous. Those who are obedient to God lack in no area that is good. They gave it some think time. What passage can we go to that agrees with that? Very familiar passage. The 23rd Psalm, the very first verse. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Want for what? Anything. Name it. The Lord is my shepherd. We're personalizing this. It's David. But we can personalize it to ourselves. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything. I shall not lack in any area. Why? Because he said, he will supply all. Start piecing the verses together. The Bible connects. It's progressive. It connects one thing to the next, one thing to the next in our lives. So if he's saying here, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," what's that mean? I shall not want. Take it for what it says and believe it for what it says and receive it as yours. But in order to do that, you got to give it some think time. You got to meditate on it. Says here, but you must meditate on it day and night. If you're going through something and you're not getting the answer and you're not meditating on what the Word of God has to say about it, it's not happening. You meditate on what the Word of God has to say about it and you say, "Okay, this is what the Word says. It's a promise to me. I've got it. It has to come. He's promised it to me. It has to happen." Now let me give you something else to think about here. Pastor Hagen out at Rhema, he has a saying that says, "I cannot be defeated and I will not quit." That sounds good, doesn't it? Now he said, "I cannot be defeated and I will not quit." That's how he says it. He's very emphatic about it. Now why does he have that attitude? Because he's given the Word of God some think time in that area. Well, what area of the Word of God did he use to give that, to have that attitude that I cannot be defeated and I will not quit? Man, get a hold of that. Because the Word of God, he's your Savior. He lives on the inside of you. There's nothing that can defeat you. And I will never quit when things try to come against me and try to knock me down. I won't quit. We look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, "We are pressed on every side by troubles." Anybody been pressed by troubles? It says we're pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. Oh, man, he's with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what's going on. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we do not look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. Doesn't matter what tries to come against me. I can have an attitude of, I'm more than a conqueror. Greater is he that lives on the inside of me than he that's in the world. When I say that, I look at it this way. Greatness lives on the inside of me. And if greatness lives on the inside of me, which is the Spirit of God, there's nothing, nothing shall by any means hurt me. I can be a conqueror in every situation. Now, why do I say things like that? Because I've given the Word some think time. Give that some think time. Give 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 18, give that some think time. And realize that no matter what comes against you, man, you're coming out on top. You never come out underneath. Never come out on the bottom. My Esword says, if we keep God's word, God will take care of us in spirit, soul, and body. If we speak, think, and do his word, then God will cause all our ways to be prosperous. Those who are obedient to God lack in no good thing. We've read verses all about that so far. Hey, this message will be on our website. Go back and listen to it again. Give it some more think time. It's not that, you know, I didn't get the notes down in time. Technology has made it easy for us. It'll be there for you to listen to over and over and over again. I've heard too many people listen to bunches of Brother Hagin's CDs, and used to be cassettes, but CDs and MP3s and all those different types of things. And you can actually, when they quote something, it's quoting something exactly the hurl. They get that on the inside of them. They get that word on the inside of them to where it just comes up out of them. There's people who can tell stories like that at the drop of a hat. They can preach at the drop of a hat. So, but you got to get it down on the inside of you in order to be able to do that. So if we don't like what's going on in our lives, let's get back to that. Check out what you're saying. Check out what you've been thinking. And check out what you've been doing. One last thing here before we close up. I've got way too many. We should make this a two-parter because I got way too many notes up here. But the one thing I want you to think about when you leave this place, because a lot of times we have this feeling of, man, I just don't have enough. I feel like I'm always being attacked. It just seems like everything is coming against me. Well, think about this. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, and I'm going to read out of the Voice translation this time. And it says, did God ever say to any of the heavenly messengers or angels, sit here at my right hand in the seat of honor, and I'll put all your enemies under your feet? Verse 14, no, of course not. The heavenly messengers or angels are only spirits and servants sent out to minister to those who will certainly inherit salvation. What? Angels are at our disposal? God will send them out to minister to us, to serve us? Have you ever thought about that? Well, let's read another one here to go right along with that. Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. It says, for he will order his angels protect you wherever you go. Ooh, ah. They will hold you up in their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. When we pray, angels go before me, behind me, all around me, protect me as I travel down the road. People prayed that before. I prayed that before. That's Bible. It says they'll protect me wherever I go. It says here that angels will serve me. They'll go out and they'll bring stuff to me. Have you thought about that? Command your angels. Everybody here has an angel. The Bible talks about that. Command your angels to go do the things that need to be done in your life. What's going on in your life that you need help with right now? Well, you've got Bible right here that you can give some think time to. So that angels are there to minister on your behalf. Ooh. I think revelation of that is I think about it right now. I'm going to send them out to do something for me today. So, as we get ready to close here, my goal here this morning was to get us thinking a little bit. Get us to thinking a little bit about the Word of God that we read, the Word of God that we hear, and don't just let it go, as we would say sometimes, in one ear and out the other. You know, don't let it be like that first guy where they planted the seed and the devil came immediately and stole it from them. Why? Because they didn't meditate on it. He was like, oh, that's a good word. Walk out of here. Hey, where are we going for supper after we, or where are we going for lunch today? That was their first thought. They didn't give it any kind of think time. We got to give the Word of God think time. We have to meditate on it. Speaking it out. Before we do it, we have to give it some think time, because when we give it, we get a greater understanding of what the Word of God is actually trying to say. And then act. Too many times we act before we think. Anybody ever done that? And what's been the results of that? Not good, usually. But give the Word of God some think time. Meditate on it. Let it simmer a little while. And I believe that as you do that, you let it simmer a little bit, you give it some think time, God will begin to reveal some things to you. The Bible is progressive. And what I mean by that is sometimes you'll read it one time and you'll get something out of it. Then you read it again and it's like, oh, I didn't see that before. You read it the third time, oh, I really didn't see that before either. You're giving it think time. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you, to speak things to you. And when you do that, God, He wants to reveal things to us. It says the Spirit of truth will come. He's only going to speak what He hears from the throne, and then He's going to show us things to come. So He wants to tell us things. We got to give it some time. We got to give Him some time. We got to meditate. We need to think on the things of God. And when we do that, we know, because He's promised, those things will come to pass. Father, I just thank You for Your word here this morning. I thank You that You're true to Your word, that when You promise something, it's a done deal. We don't ever have to wonder whether You're going to come through or not. Because we've read Your word, and we've given it time to see. We've thought about it. We trust Your Holy Spirit to reveal things to us. And we know that He will. So, Father, as we're here today, throughout our week, we're gonna bring things to You. You told us to plead our case to You. So we're going to bring, know that the things that we bring, Father, they will never, ever surprise You. And Father, we're going to follow it up with the Word, because we've thought about what Your Word has to say. And we trust You in Your Word.